This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Gentlemen, welcome back to Chairshot NFL. You can follow us at Chairshot NFL. My name is PC Tony. You can follow me at PC Tony. I am joined, as always, by the IWC War Chief. You can follow him at IWC War Chief. It's Andrew Belaz.
We have a website again.
Yay! Go to chairshot.com. Sports, entertainment, and sports entertainment. We got articles. We got opinions. We got reviews. We got news. We got analysis. And we got podcast galore.
The chair shot. Did you get your own bell?
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Did you get your own bell?
I've had that. It's on my. I don't have a desk bell, but.
Oh, okay. So you've had it. So you just like to pass the buck and be like, if DP was here, then I'd hit the bell. But I don't have a bell. So well, you've had it. You have a buzzer, too. Look at that.
I got a lot of shit on here. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
The arsenal grows. It's the only thing that, you know, really continues to expand. I basically have stuck with the same bits on DWI now for a good 2-3 years. So that show hasn't changed much.
Yeah, so you're going to have to make some space for whenever the other show gets off the ground. So AJ was asking about it.
Oh yeah, I know that
the Black Attack.
That has its own side of the folder. That's a completely different arsenal of things. That has this kind of thing in it.
Because I went to the salon with her and I got my asshole bleached too! And I love my new asshole!
We got that.
Hated it.
We got this for Platt.
Well, we don't believe you. You need more people.
That one, yeah.
So yeah, it's a whole different page. Then I can go right back. I got two different tabs there. So,
oh, nice. Yeah. I wasn't sure what the interface looked like for that.
No, I just went back to the more family-friendly side of things.
Who does that?
If you haven't noticed from what you just heard, the first sound clip was on the other board.
True. We haven't bleached enough assholes on this show.
Well,
you're right.
Yeah, well, Platt likes to report when anybody's on vacation that's kind of what's going on.
I mean, it could be. You never know.
It could. I can.
Got to keep everything clean and tight, you know?
If only this wasn't Chairshot NFL, we would have the title for this podcast.
Hey, it still works. There's tight ends, you know, plays can be clean, routes can be run clean and tight. Could still work.
Wide receivers.
Exactly. Hopefully they're tight.
Down linemen? Does that no?
There you go.
No, yeah, okay. Right.
They have to eat clean to keep weight up or keep weight correct because they get fined if they get too heavy. So there we go. Clean and tight could still be a thing.
Okay, I think we're almost done with that subject.
You sure? Are we steering too much into the pot as we're kind of gimmick right now?
I don't care, to be honest with you. We're going to get into the football I'm really just trying to get through, you know, 5-6 minutes so we can take a commercial. But we got to do a couple more minutes of stick here.
So, I feel like that's how the Bucks play the game, too. Like, they just have to get through 5 or 6 minutes and not fucking shit themselves. And then, you know, everything gets fine. We hit a commercial break, and then something okay happens, hopefully.
Yeah, we play.
How do you feel about the Packers, though?
We play you guys this week.
I know, and this is probably the wild card spot game. If the Bucks don't get the division, and they're all still in play for the wild card, at least the seventh. So...
Yeah,
the winner of this kind of is in charge of their destiny in a way, because, you know.
It's a hot fucking mess down there, I'll be honest with you. I don't think anybody that's a team, I don't think anybody that's a fan of a team that is under 500 right now really wants their team to make the playoffs, because they know they're not going to win. They're not going to, you might win one game, then you get your hopes up even higher and you're going to lose. Like, it's just, you're not... All right, we're going to get into it, and I'll say it all the time when we get to power rankings, because that's what we're going to go to next. So I don't want to step on that.
You just want the Packers to miss because you've been low on them all year, and you have a bet going. So that's what you want.
I watched the game Monday.
So you better pick the Buccaneers when we get the picks.
I watched the game Monday. I watched the fucking first Packer game I've watched all year from beginning to end. Yeah, and what did they do? What if they did exactly what I thought they would fucking do?
You got Tommy DeVito. What you gonna do? You know, Tommy shows up. You know, he throws a gabagool. He gets a little pasta vajoule and, you know, makes a nice pastrami sandwich.
What's up with this fucking agent in the fucking crowd, bro? What's
up with this guy all in black? He looks straight out of the mafia.
I was gonna say, dude, Tommy Cutlets has got his fucking agent there. You know,
this is my consigliere. He's also my agent.
This agent shows up at the combine and he's like, "You need another agent? Like you need another hole in your head? Like here? Like here? Here?" Here, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, how many times did, what was the, what's the over under on the next game? How many times did those two guys kiss each other on the cheek?
Oh, shit. That should be a betting line. Is that not a betting line? I mean, don't see it on CBS. Find it some, is it on maybe DraftKings? DraftKings might do that.
TommyCutlets.com.
See, Tommy Cutlets.
Did you see what he wore? Did you see what he wore to that game?
I feel like that could be a bad Google for some people. So maybe. Let's safe search on.
Yeah. The feds are at your house. Sorry about that. I was listening to Church on NFL.
It was just shtick. We swear. We didn't know anything.
did you see what he wore into the game?
Wasn't it? I think I did. I saw pieces of it. Watch the Giants.
They looked like they were tight leather pants, and then he had a midriff cut sweater that with no collar that was like pink and feathery.
I mean, he's stylish. You know what you're gonna do.
I'm not against wear whatever you want, but I just think you look ridiculous.
Like, I mean, it's New York. Have you seen a New Yorker's dress?
I guess I am judging him. I'm not judging
him. A little
bit. I'm not judging him.
You're judging him from the Midwestern perspective. I look at him and I go, he's a 20-something from New York. Of course he dresses like that.
I'm old and from the Midwest, yeah. I'm not judging him as a person.
I didn't say old. You said old, so let's just remember who said what words.
I am. I'm just classifying myself. But I'm very open-minded, though.
Good, especially nowadays.
Who gives a shit what kind of day it is? That's kind of who I am as well. But here's the thing. I'm not judging him as a person. I just think he looks stupid. How's that sound?
That's still very old sounding.
That's fine.
That's the old person would be like, your music sounds stupid. You look stupid. That's just because you don't get it.
No, it's
not
art.
I get it. I just look at it and go, that makes sense. It's not a fashion choice I would make, but it makes sense for the East Coast, that age range.
Okay.
I get Midwestern style could be different. It might not even be the boomer in you speaking. It could just be Midwestern sensibilities.
Fuck you, dude. I'm Gen X, okay? So go to hell.
You said old. I went boomer, so sue me.
You know potato, I'm not potato. A boomer. You're an ass. You know how old I am. You know, right before
boomer
I logged
mind,
on.
Not necessarily
right before I logged on
you're
here
still
to put up.
Simon and Garfunkel. Boomer.
I like Simon. I'm not a big Garfunkel guy.
The fact that you differentiate is boomerish.
No, dude, you're killing me today.
You might as well just be the mascot from the Trenton Thunder.
When I logged on today, I thought to myself, oh, I really like working with Andrew.
You thought wrong.
We're going to a fucking commercial break. This is Chair Shot NFL. I'm not even sure if we're going to talk NFL when we come back. We will, but how much? I'm not sure. This is total pot is war vibes today. I think Andrew and I are both kind of fed up with society. We might have something to say about it. We'll be right back. And we got a website. Don't forget about that, thechairshot.com.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Welcome back, folks. Chairshot NFL Week 15 preview here. Andrew Belaz, PC Tunney, Ray Cash. I'm not even going to say out on assignment. Ray Cash had a chance to go to the Houston Rockets game tonight, and he took full advantage, as any of us would have. Good on him. We expect a full report next week. I do believe he's got some special seats, or he's in a suite, or got some corporate thing going on. But, yeah, good on him, man. If the Rockets were actually on national television, I'd check it out and see if we could see Ray Cash. But I highly doubt the Rockets. It's not his basketball team. It's just his home team. He's a Suns fan. We all know that. Ray is like a transplant sports fan. It's so fucking weird. Andrew is a little bit
too. I'm the same way.
Yeah, you guys can both go to hell. Anyway.
I understand his gimmick. You like who you like.
You can follow him at It's Ray Cash. You can follow me at PC Tony. You can follow Andrew at IWC War Chief. Don't forget to follow at Chairshot Media. If you follow that on X, you will be notified and turn the alerts on every time something pops up on the website. So whether it's
now
the articles, what?
Now that it works.
Yes, now again. That we're back. That's why I'm pimping it out right now. Whether it's coverage, whether it's analysis, whether it's an opinion piece, or whether it's a podcast, you're going to get it right there on that feed. So make sure you're checking all those things out. And don't forget, next chance you get, open up your web browser and go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Pick yourself up a few Chair Shot t-shirts. One for yourself and two for gifts, because they're way better than gift cards, a tie, a mug, whatever, a hug. They're better than a hug. prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Get your Chair Shot t-shirt. It's better than a hug.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
It's the gift that keeps on hugging you. How about that?
Sure, I guess so. Like, if that's what you're going with, go with it. Like, it's fine.
And then if you want, you can get the shirt and cut the sleeves off. So then you got a sleeveless shirt, cut off sleeveless shirt, looking awesome. And you can use those sleeves. You can tie them around your balls, and they can hug your balls.
Wow. It's like a turtleneck for
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
You know, just saying. Don't forget about thechairshot.com.
I thought you were going to say don't forget about your balls.
Always use your head.
Yeah, there you go.
I could never forget about my balls. He's here with me today.
Hey, that's a throwback. You haven't said that one in a hot minute.
Come on, meow. We got everything in the arsenal. The arsenal expands daily, my friend, daily. And speaking of the arsenal, and one of my new favorite things in the arsenal, it's definitely time for our weekly power surge.
Such a good drop, isn't it? What? What are you pointing at me for? What?
Oh, he came in on the fade out. I love him today.
Oh. See, I had to surprise you a little bit. You didn't think I was going to. You thought I was going to be quiet like usual.
Was that my holiday gift this year?
It was.
I
was,
appreciate
yes.
It, bud.
never saying don't give you nothing.
What a nice guy.
So yeah, there we go. So you were talking earlier that you have a top 10. And that some of your top 10 is a little spicy and you've got a few new teams in there. Whereas I think pretty sure I only have one new team in there and a bunch of rigmarole just fucking jumbled around, reordered. So should we just get into it? Should we just start at 10?
All right, we can start.
That's got to be one of your new ones.
No, it's not. That's my new actually, one. It's the biggest. It's the biggest drop, I think.
Who the fuck? You the Chiefs at 10?
No, no, no.
Okay, I was about to say.
No, right I had them. I had them at 7 last week. This week they dropped to 10 after losing to the Chicago Bears. It's the Detroit Lions.
I didn't drop them that far, but they did drop for me. But I respect that. I get it. 10 I actually have as the Bills.
All right. I have Buffalo at 7.
Wow. You put a lot more faith in the Bills than I did. Like, that was a shaky game when they beat the Chiefs, and they won because of a shaky call that doesn't usually get called.
That's all a talented team like that needs, and a team that has won in the playoffs, though, already.
And that's why I put them at 10.
I gotcha. That's fine. I only have them three spots ahead, so who do you who do you have at 9 and 8, then? Because I have two teams that you probably don't even have at 9 and 8 on your top 10.
My 9 and 8 are Jake Browning's Bengals.
Okay.
And Tua's choking Dolphins.
All right. I have the Dolphins a little higher. I have the Bengies at 9. And yeah. I hope Jake Browning has a hell of a game this next weekend, because I've had him for a few weeks, and now I have to start him in the first round of the fantasy football playoffs, which is fine, because the last 2 weeks he's put up 25-plus. So
and that's the last 2 weeks, though, and he's still kind of new. So that's.
I know, but he doesn't have the most difficult game in the world this weekend. So we'll see. As long as Jamar Chase plays, I like my odds. Otherwise, I don't know. Might have to pick up Tommy DeVito, huh? See how that works out.
Tommy DeVito, that's right. You know,
I don't know if we can.
He
go
can
there.
Get you there.
Only the Packers can make him look like.
What do you need? 12 points? You know, he got you. He got all you. Right. He got you to win.
Who did you have at 8?
The 2 is choking Dolphins.
Okay, I got the Dolphins up at 6. So I have Miami at 6, Buffalo at 7, Cincinnati at 9, Detroit at 10. At 8, new team onto the top 10. Can you guess who they are?
New team, who it is? Maybe the Broncos.
Oh, that's close. They're the team that just fell out of making the top 10. But you almost said it. I thought you were going to say it. You said Broncos. You should have said Browns.
Oh, see, I have them higher.
Oh, nice. I dropped them, actually. I found out some news. I had them at 5. I dropped
because
them.
Of their offensive tackle?
They've lost a key. They've lost two defensive players for this weekend and one for the year.
Who the hell did they lose?
Akawagobu, or I don't know. It's something. I don't. Maybe.
See, you can't even say his name. Is he that important?
Just pull it up and say it.
All right, I'll just Brown's injury report. Give me a second.
There you go. So that's what I have. I still have him at 8 because I think if Flacco can just do what he does, and you can have Ford and Hunt run the ball back there, that defense is so freaking tough. The problem is they lose a couple guys. I want to see the next man steps up there, but Flacco already.
Okoronkwo?
There you go.
Okay.
And Flacco already had chemistry with Elijah Moore. They knew each other from the Jets, but the fact that he's already, I guess you can't be surprised, two future Hall of Famers in my book. I think Flacco gets a Hall of Fame. Do you think? I don't know. Amari Cooper, maybe not. Two borderline Hall of Famers.
Yeah, they're bubbles, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe I don't.
Cooper probably needs a ring or like a really, really big year, because he's been consistent, but like, I mean, Joey Galloway's not in the Hall, right?
I would love to compare those stats.
You also have to look at the time frame, too. Like, that's.
Yeah, but Joey Galloway's not that far-fetched to go. But also, what I like to look at is where they are in the top 10 in the major statistical categories for their position throughout their career. Like, if you want to track, like, their first 10 to 12 years and see what they did and compare them against other people and where they lined up against their
contemporaries,
their peers of the time, I think that's the best way to do it. You know, that way a formula, it's kind of a curve, because you're maximizing the day of which the era of which they played in and the emphasis of what was on each thing. So how did you compare to your position at the time? Because I always thought the Hall of Fame should be, if you were one of the elite players at your position over your career, then you should make it. Now there can be times in which there are more elite players at one position than other times.
Yes.
But there can't be half the fucking league.
I agree with you, and I think a lot of the discussion became murky when Terrell Davis got let in a couple of years ago.
I'm okay like, with Terrell Davis. Did I like TD. Didn't he rush for 2,000 yards?
He played for like 8 seasons.
He won 2 Super Bowls, and he had one season where he rushed for 2,000 yards, if I'm not wrong.
I get that, but so did Chris Jones. Or Johnson, sorry. I was thinking the wrong name. Is Chris Johnson getting in?
He didn't win
the Super Bowls, but he has the 2,000 yards.
There you go.
You're gonna ding him because he didn't have a team?
I don't know. I'm not. I'm just saying why he's not in yet. I haven't looked at his career and seen what it is. Maybe this is maybe this is an off-season thing where we go over future people to the Hall of Fame, and maybe we do the Hall of Fame show. Who should be in?
It's not a bad conversation because I personally like the elite thing. I agree with you that they should be elite in their position, but they should also have longevity in their position. Like if they only there for 7 or 8 years, eh.
Yeah, but some people just come in and are amazing and they deserve to be in.
They'd have to be like otherworldly talent, like a Bo Jackson type thing. And nobody regards Terrell Davis in the same sentence as Bo Jackson. You know what I mean? Nobody does.
I had a discussion
you can make
today
an
with,
argument if you'd like to.
I had
when
a,
people say Bo Jackson, number two is never Terrell Davis.
I had a discussion today with Andrew about Bo Jackson and Terrell Davis.
Okay, fuck you. Okay,
same
in that
breath,
case, yes.
Same breath, same sentence.
Mm-hmm. You know exactly what I mean. It's a turn of phrase.
You're loving me as much as I'm loving you today now, huh?
Exactly, yeah. So should we get back to the top 10 since I think we lost the plot a little bit?
No, it's all good. Who'd
you have at 7 again? The Bills?
Buffalo, yeah.
I got the Detroit Lions at 7.
Okay, and then I have Miami.
I don't trust them.
I don't either. That's why I dropped them to 10.
But I still think they're going to make the playoffs and they're still better than some of like the lower teams, but... they're just weird. Like I don't get it. Like,
I left them in ahead of Denver.
The last 5 teams have been close. They've won. They've lost 2 of their last 3. But they've been division games. Sure, you can make that argument. Blah. But I don't. I'm not sure about that. They are at probably another loss or 2 away from just slipping out of my top 10 because they went from being like the Cinderella team to now you're seeing the holes in the armor.
They're 2 games behind the Vikings. Okay, just hear me out.
Ahead of.
Yes, ahead of. Ahead of the Vikings, right?
Correct.
Hear me out. They play Denver this week. That's
a tough game.
Right. They go to Minnesota the next week.
That's a division game right there, probably. Like the whoever wins that wins the division most likely.
Then they go to Dallas.
Dallas could be in rest mode by then. You don't know what their season's going to look like.
They're tied with Philly.
I'm just saying. You don't know what could happen in the next 2 weeks. If Philly just completely shits the bed like they did at the end of last year where they lost
they're
like,
also
what, their
battling,
last 3 games.
They're also battling for a number 1 seed with San Francisco.
Oh, I know they are with the Niners, but the Cowboys have a tough schedule.
But no. But
so
just,
if their schedule is a little too rough and they can't quite get there, they might take the foot off the gas.
That might be the only caveat here because they finish with the Vikings. They play the Vikings 2 out of the last 3 weeks.
Yeah. So that's going to be what really decides the division.
I think they're lucky.
They could win. They
Vikings
could beat the Broncos. They could beat the Vikings twice.
I bet the Vikings wish they had picked up Joe Flacco.
Apparently they could have for a couple weeks because the fucking Browns left him on the practice squad. But Flacco actually wanted to stay in Cleveland. That was a weird sentence I never thought anybody would say.
It's crazy because Dobbs came in after that rookie, and I forget his name because he's probably going to get the start this week in Minnesota. Dobbs came in and he had like 3 out of 4 really good weeks, and then like he was horrible, and then he was okay, and then they win 3-0. I mean, what was that game last week? What the fuck was that?
I mean, the worst game in NFL history, tied for the lowest scoring game. What do you want me to say? God.
The lowest scoring game in NFL history for an indoor
tied
game.
For
indoor game.
Oh! I hate when places do that. Like, can we not add like a weird caveat?
I'm sorry. You know what?
I'd be like, it's the lowest scoring game after someone had a salad on a Thursday with extra
cheese
and no croutons.
That's significant.
It's like, who gives a
that's so significant, though, because indoor and outdoor games have
hot... It's still the scoring game. It's hard to... Like, why do you have to over-preface everything? The old one was 3-0. It was the Steelers beat the Dolphins, what, like, a decade ago or whatever. No. And now it's tied.
There was a 0-0 game in the 40s or 20s or something. There was no overtime, though.
Are you sure? Or are you just pulling that one?
No. I'm pretty sure the old
NFL. Well, maybe they could just be calling it current NFL after the merger or some shit like that. Because that was
Super Bowl forward modern. It's like WrestleMania.
Could
forward.
Be
NFL.
Yeah, sure,
and
sure. WrestleMania
WWE,
season.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
But like 3-0 is the worst game. Let's just call it the worst
game.
Just
call it WrestleMania season, the Super Bowl era.
Exactly. Yes.
Okay.
Whatever.
Cool.
It's
whatever,
WrestleMania
yes.
season. That's how
Super
we do
Bowl
this.
Era WrestleMania season. You know what we mean.
Hey, how many people wanted The Undertaker to come out during that fucking Niners and Ravens fucking Super Bowl when there was a power outage?
Oh, that's hilarious.
Tell me that wasn't fucking pro wrestling right there.
I remember where I was, too, watching that game. I was I was at Satchel McFlippin's.
You weren't at Dance House. Okay, I thought you were going to say Dance House.
No, DP was at Satchel McFlippin's as well.
Okay.
So the general was there with his newborn. Well, she wasn't newborn. She was like 2. And he was playing a game with her, like throwing her up like 2 inches and catching her or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you walk up into the place there, you like the stairs kind of keep go. You can go into the first level or the stairs will keep going upstairs. And then there's kind of a balcony that looks over the living room. And I was like, you know, hey, General, if you go up top and or no. Satchel, if you go up top and you open your hands like you just dropped something and I lay on the floor and I take a picture right as the general throws his daughter up into the air, it's going to look like he's catching his daughter as you dropped her from the second floor balcony. And then we can send that picture to the general's wife.
Did you do that?
Yeah, we did. And she was pissed.
Good job. That's perfect.
Explained it to her. Yeah. So that's a good
story. No, that's good. That's the shit you're supposed to pull.
Right. It was good. It was fun. No, and who says good. We didn't really drop her from there? So, I mean,
exactly.
much like that fake drop, the real drop is the Detroit Lions, though, in my opinion.
I still want to hold faith for the Cinderella season, which is why I have them 7th and not 10th. But, like, we'll see if the Lions going to lion or not.
We shall.
Your 6?
Miami.
I have that as the Chiefs.
I got the Chiefs ahead of them because I think Buffalo is a better team than Tennessee. To lose 28-27 after being up 14 in the second half to a team that's probably not going to make the playoffs and to do this at home against a rookie quarterback, Mike McDaniels needs to figure it out.
Oh, yeah, that's why I have the Dolphins at 8, in case you forgot. But like, I had the Dolphins even lower because I saw a stat, which I don't know how accurate it was because I was not going to do the math myself, but it was a picture that with up by 14 points with less than 3 minutes left, the Dolphins are the only or like the first team to ever lose the game in that period of time. The other teams were 17,561-0.
It was crazy because I was actually watching the Packer game and I got tired of them fucking cutting to a dual screen because they had 2 games going. I'm like, bro, I have 2 TVs. I'm watching both games. Stop fucking doing
this. Not everybody has 2 TVs.
Well,
fucking
go fuck yourself then. I don't give a shit. Don't have two fucking games on. They don't do that on any other fucking. They don't do that on Fox while you're watching a fucking noon or fucking 3 o'clock game.
They used to do it with wrestling in the 90s. You'd have Nitro on one TV, Raw on the other. Oh, no, that's right. You just watched Raw. Never mind. You don't know Nitro existed. I'm sorry.
That's totally untrue. I would tape Raw. I would tape Raw with VHS.
And you'd watch Nitro live?
And I watched Nitro because it started first.
Yes, it did.
And it was shorter. So then I could watch Raw in like an hour and 15 minutes, and then I would go to bed.
Okay. Good.
I'm a WCW guy, too. Don't start.
Sure. You normally don't answer those questions, according to what Adam says. So, like, if it's not WWE, you're usually like, no, Sting.
Oh,
you're
talking about trivia on DWI?
A little bit, yeah.
That's a very kayfabe question and answer for me.
Do you actually punt questions on purpose just because it's a gimmick? That's a really clever way to cover for yourself if you really don't know what the fuck going on to.
You think I would say something like that if it wasn't true?
Yes, because it's a good cover. It's kayfabe, brother.
Okay. All right.
Didn't Adam have a question like who had the longest losing streak or something like that on DWI and it was you?
Yes, I did. The first like 12 the first 12 times we played trivia, I lost. Think about that.
You're like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers of trivia. Look at that. Oh,
Andrew, think about it. Think about it. I won like the next 5 or 6 he fails to mention before I started losing again.
It's still funny. I catch pieces, you know. I still keep in a track of some stuff. It's just funny.
Okay.
But okay, so back to football, I guess. 5. I got the Browns. That's where I put the Browns.
That's where I had them. I had them at 5, and I jumbled up because of the defensive injuries. So I have KC at 5. I still think, boy, wait till we get to the game that they play this week. So go ahead.
Wait, which KC or the Browns? Which team?
Kansas City.
Yep. All right, so 4 is the Eagles for me.
I think our top 4 are the same. Eagles, Cowboys, Ravens, Niners.
Correct, in that order.
Yeah. You got to put Dallas ahead of the Eagles. They just look better. I think McCarthy has gotten Dak to be less Brett and more Aaron. Not that he doesn't have some Brett in him, but he needs him to be more Aaron. Does that make sense?
Are you going to give that credit to McCarthy, or do you think it's just whoever the quarterback's coaches or Dak himself? Because whenever you talk shit about the Cowboys or old Packers stuff, it's usually McCarthy that you rag on first and not the team or the players. So
no, I'm giving the credit.
Who do you think is actually getting Prescott there?
I just gave the credit to McCarthy.
I'm just making sure we're clear on it. That's all.
I just gave the credit to McCarthy. McCarthy is a quarterback's coach to start with. He was in San Francisco, and then he was in New Orleans under Sean Payton. Like, McCarthy comes from a rich tree. Like, this guy knows what he was. You don't come out and say it, but he is an elite. He is a Hall of Fame football coach. 100% when he said that in his exit from Green Bay. It's just his time was done there. And sometimes after a while, a locker room loses your ear. And sometimes it takes a little while for that ear to open up and start to work together. It happened with Brett and Holmgren. And it was the evolution of that relationship was likely the demise of McCarthy and Green Bay between him and Aaron. But him and Dak seem to have a good rapport. And I don't think they've ever banged heads. I think Dak's just slowly become a better game manager and less apt to turn the ball over, which is what a talented team, especially defensively, needs. The win percentage on the defensive line, in accordance with like the rush rate that the Dallas Cowboys have this year, is like exponential.
Crazy.
To any other team. It's been insane. So
Micah Parsons has been a complete beast. There's more than just him, but like him alone, he's just like a disruptive force by himself.
And that secondary has grown this year too.
No, the Stephon Gilmore trade ended up being really, really good when people were kind of on the fence about that. Like, they lost, Van Der Esch, I think, earlier in the year, but, like, they've slotted in enough people. Like, their defense is really solid. CeeDee Lamb is huge. Pollard is playing like a starting running back. He's not doing too much, and he's doing exactly what he needs to. Like, it's a good team. I can't really... from just not believing it because they're the Cowboys, they have been playing well.
But here's the thing, though. They've finally put themselves in the driver's seat, right, to at least get that 2 seed where they wouldn't have to play San Francisco if they both won out because Frisco beat them.
Yes.
And they wouldn't have to play the first. No, they would. They'd be the 2. The only other first seed gets the bye. That's right. That's why I think they'll definitely be playing against the Lions. But they have to go to Buffalo, and then they have to go to Miami.
Yep. And those are tough games, to put it nicely.
They do get to finish at Washington, but man, wouldn't that be something weird? So I don't know. is the first time I actually believe the Cowboys could win the Super Bowl. I did not have him in that list of teams that I thought that I would say, I'll give you the rest of the field. But they are now in that group of teams, I think, with Frisco, Baltimore, Philly, KC for now are the only five teams I think who win the Super Bowl.
I mean, I'll give you that, even though I have the Browns ahead of the Chiefs. I'd need to see the Chiefs turn it on.
No. And this is a power rankings, right? And if those two defensive players were there, literally I had Cleveland, KC, Miami, Buffalo, Cincinnati, Detroit. But I switched it up because of the defense there. I want to see how those guys, next men step up and who can get healthy for them. But Cleveland offensively with Flacco looks like a team that could go out there and win a Super Bowl too.
Just in different order.
I guess we did.
Niners, Ravens, Cowboys, Eagles, Browns, Chiefs, Lions, Dolphins, Bengals, Bills.
Yep. Isn't that crazy?
That is a little surprising.
Denver on the precipice.
Yeah, same thing. Like, I've just been pushing for the Broncos because they were my, like, wild card Hail Mary pick for week zero. But, like, Broncos have actually looked good.
No.
Broncos could win the division if the Chiefs actually keep taking a shot.
Wouldn't
what
that
mean?
Be crazy? Well, the defense is playing great over there. They forced so many turnovers, I think.
Russ isn't playing terrible either, though. You know, you got to give him some credit. Like,
well, he's got healthy receivers.
He's doing his job well.
Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy are both back for them. I think Javonte Williams is back running the football, so they're not relying on, like, McLaughlin and Samaje Toure, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
But
Sertan's been really, really good, too.
Yeah. But I just still think that you're looking at, I don't know. I said it after they lost three games in a row. I said they're still my favorite to win the Super Bowl, and they're the number one team to start the year. They're the number one team now again for a couple weeks. It's the San Francisco 49ers and everybody else, as long as that core group of people stay healthy for them on both sides of the ball.
I'm not really disagreeing. I mean, like, my early Super Bowl was Chiefs-Niners. I had the Chiefs winning in our week zero predictions, but, like, I still figured the Niners were going to make a run, so let's see how that works out.
It's funny because I took Seattle because I didn't want to have, like, chalk pick, but obviously, since you've heard me talk all year, I've thought of the world of the 49ers, so.
You have. You kept them in the top, like, five when I was, like, shoving them down to, like, seven or eight until they figured it out.
I'm like, they're just hurt. They'll be fine.
So since we didn't really do a repick, if you still have your numbers for our week zero picks for who we thought we were going to make the playoffs, there's only one team that I know you and me agreed on that is, like, kind of far out to actually make the playoffs on my list, and that's the Jets, because they're probably not making the playoffs. And I think you also picked the Jets because we thought Rodgers was going to play more than 10 seconds of football this year.
Yeah, and I don't think that's...
Is there anybody else that you have that is, like, completely dead in the water that you just misread?
I have our picks.
I know. I meant your picks personally.
Oh, my picks?
Because I have my picks in front of me, too.
Okay. Let me see if I can read this.
And that's why I typed mine up after I did it.
No, I can read what I wrote. I'm just trying to figure out this graph that I have here.
What the fuck? Were you doing, like, trigonometry with
picks?
See. Like,
I had KC on the AFC side. And then talk about playoff teams. I just have divisions here. I had the Ravens, the Jags, the Bills, and the Chiefs, Lions, Saints, Eagles, and then, well, Seahawks. So my picks look pretty good.
So aside from, like, the Jets and the Seahawks, the rest of yours are pretty good?
I didn't have the Jets. I had the Bills.
I thought you thought the Jets were going to be a playoff team.
You had the Bills, too.
I have the Chiefs, the Broncos, the Bills, the Jets, the Jaguars, the Bengals, the Ravens for AFC, Eagles, Cowboys, Saints, Bucks,
yeah,
Vikings, Lions,
Niners. Oh, playoff-wise. Oh, I don't know what my other two teams are.
I thought I could have swore we were on the Aaron Rodgers, like, 10-7 train together because Ray was kind of negative about it.
Probably. I'm looking at what I got on the Big Show sheet here. And, because, you know, every time I podcast, I go to the notebook and I write it out what we're doing. And from that day, I do have Cuidado written down, which is pretty fucking sweet. I won't play that right now, but I do not have the playoff. Did you have the Bills, Jets, Ravens, Bengals, Jags, Chiefs, and Raiders?
No, I did not have the Raiders. I had the Broncos. I think Ray had the Raiders, yes. So Raiders are probably Ray's biggest Cuidado. The Jets were my Cuidado, which I'm pretty sure you had as well. And, you know, everybody else is within reason, because I know you guys thought I was crazy thinking that two people were going to make it out of the NFC South, because I had the Saints winning and the Bucks still making it because I thought that team looked pretty good, which technically they're all still alive.
Yeah. Well, we're smart. I mean, if that's what you're trying to prove right now.
I was just trying to prove that our week zero picks weren't nearly as crazy as we thought they were.
No, they were.
Some of us took bigger swings than others, like me and my fucking Broncos. Like, so, like, well, started at 1-5, and I'm just like, I look stupid.
Sometimes you say stuff just to kind of have good content and podcasting to be different. Otherwise, everybody picks the same thing, and you go, oh, I listened to this show, and they all said exactly what Vegas says, and that's boring as fuck.
Yeah, I don't do that, though. I thought the Broncos looked good, and it just took until like week 7 for them to prove me right. But
no, I know.
You know, at least I got there.
Just saying. Just saying.
I don't be contrarian just to be contrarian. That's Ray.
No, but I do that sometimes.
Apparently, that's your whole gimmick on DWI is just to get things wrong. To be
different.
Yes.
Right. We're done here. You give away one little secret, and everything is fucking fucked. Apparently.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe.
We'll be right fucking back. I'm just kidding. He's throwing me off now. Chairshot NFL, follow us there at Chairshot NFL. Don't forget about the Chairshot.com. It's back. There's wrestling. There's sports. There's entertainment. Go there, please. Don't forget about us. We'll be right back.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
And do not forget about prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Pick yourself up a Chairshot t-shirt. It makes a great gift. It's better than a hug because it doesn't stop hugging you as long as you're wearing it. That's prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Do you like the evolution of that commercial, Andrew, that I just did right there?
It's something. I'm not sure if I like it yet or not, but I give you points for keeping on it. Like, you know, you stick to the gimmick real well. What can I say?
Do you think that we could get like turtlenecks over there at prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot? That way, not only do you have a shirt that hugs you all day long, it feels like a midget is hanging on the back of you and strangling you at the same time.
I appreciate Mitch Hedberg jokes as well. Yes.
That's prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
So one day a truck of potatoes came and they said, fuck it.
They said,
cut them up.
Never get stolen.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Go ahead. You got one?
I said, never get stoned in the forest. Smokey is way more intense in person.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
An escalator can never be out of order. What are they going to put on a sign? It says, sorry for the convenience.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Are we good? Or you got one more?
I mean, this is Mitch Hedberg jokes. Come on. Like, Mitch Hedberg is the best. My favorite joke of his isn't even a joke. It's when he was doing stand-up and he had it written down and he goes, T-ski. What the hell is T-ski? You see, I just write my things down and he goes, I'll skip that. I don't remember it. And then he's telling his next joke and he stops. He goes, wait, no, I remember what that joke was. It's like, what if you put a whole bunch of packets of tea into a lake and then you could just jump on some skis and you could T-ski?
That's a horrible joke, but the fact that he remembered it mid-joke probably is awesome while you're watching it. Yeah, I know. I get it. I get comedy.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
All right. Let's run down here. Week 15. We'll get some locks. May or may not. Well, for the listeners, go ahead and take.
Cuidado. Mucho cuidado, que estás tomando por un rumbo.
Take caution. These picks are for entertainment purposes only. But by golly, we're going to sell the shit out of them.
Miras que yo las puedo adivinar cuando me miras. Cuidado.
All right, Andrew, are you ready for week 15? Not only do we have the normal Thursday night game on Amazon, but we have a NFL Network triple header on Saturday for your viewing pleasure. How about that?
It's a thing.
It's a thing. Yes, I can. Your excitement level is through the roof. I can tell.
Every time they fuck with the schedule, it just makes it weird for some players. Like, do I like having football throughout the week more? Yes. But is it weird for the teams? Is it weird for everybody? Kinda.
If college football wasn't the feeder for the NFL, the NFL would always have games on Saturday, but they wait until the college football season is over, and then they utilize another day.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
I'm not arguing with you or the reason why. I'm just saying it always tends to get weird. Plus, now I think we also have a Christmas game coming up. So, like, they really like just, like,
but
fucking
that's Monday.
Sticking games in there now.
It's a Monday.
I know, but
why wouldn't you?
I wonder if they're going to continue doing it is my point.
Not on a Tuesday.
They might if it's Christmas.
No.
NBA does Christmas games.
NBA does. Any day. Doesn't matter.
So NFL, why, but maybe it might start something. It might start something.
They wouldn't play on a Tuesday that late in the season.
You never know.
I know. Knowing's half the battle. If PC, Tunny.
Okay.
You ready now?
I mean, am
Are
I
you
ever?
Ready? I'm not ready for this shenanigans. Amazon Prime gets another banger of a game. By the way, Al Michaels is taken off of the NBC playoff game. Did you hear about this?
I would be too. If I had to call this shit the Chargers versus the Raiders.
No. Not on Thursday Night Football, Amazon Prime. He was supposed to do NBC's playoff games for them. They said, no thanks. You're not that good anymore.
I mean, he just wasn't that interested in the game he was calling. I think it was, Thanksgiving where they got pissed off at him? And it's like, what you going to do?
Anyway. Chargers at Raiders on Thursday night.
It's Aiden O'Connell versus Easton Stick?
Yes.
Yeah.
What a matchup.
The guy that makes hockey sticks, that's who's playing against Aiden O'Connell?
Against the guy who's selling hockey sticks.
Oh, there we go. This is a fucking garbage game. I would not bet money on it. I won't. I might not even spend time watching it. That's fucking painful.
Raiders -3, over under 34.5 points. Let's quickly move on to Saturday for my first lock of the week, and it's the Bengals at home -3 against the Vikings, over under 40. I hope Browning goes off for 5 million passing yards and 7 billion touchdowns. There's no way I could lose in fantasy if that happens.
That's my first pick as well. I have the Bengals beating the Vikings.
Alrighty then. We got a double dinger.
Yeah. We definitely need a song called Apuesto, though, or Apuesta, depending on if it's a female or a male singer. So they just listen to whatever the opposite of our locks are, instead of just Cuidado.
Okay.
Just saying. You said it before to listen to the locks with caution.
That's true.
We need to find Apuesta or Apuesto.
But I also enjoy a good drink. So to all of the people listening, in addition to Cuidado, while we make our locks, I would like to say, Arriba,
surface.
Abajo, al centro, pa dentro. How about
Cerveza.
That? Yeah, there you go. Well done, sir.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's keep it rolling here. The afternoon game on Saturday. Steelers at Colts, both teams 7-6. Big time playoff implications here in the AFC. Over under 42. The home team, the Colts, and Gardner Minshew, -1. And the hook, Andrew.
I mean, I'd have to pick the Colts to win if we're picking winners and losers, but I'm not betting on it. Not touching it. I'm not lacking anything. The Steelers have looked terrible.
Yeah, I'm not touching this game either. I would, if I had to take somebody, I'd take the Steelers, though, just because I think the better coach, I don't know. I know Pickett's out, right? Who's starting for them? Trubisky?
I think it's still Mitchell Biscuits, Mr. Biscuits.
My. Okay, well, yeah, we've talked enough about this game.
Yep.
The night game, though.
That's a good one.
It's kind of a smell test here. Like, hey, who's going to, you know, are Denver going to keep it going? Detroit going to come through here with a quality win finally as of late?
Mm-hmm.
This could be another huge home loss following that Thanksgiving debacle. If they lost this game here in primetime on a Saturday night here, Detroit's -4 over under 47.5. I think that's a lot of points. If I had to do anything here, which I wouldn't, I would take the under.
I mean, I'm still going to ride my week zero pick, and I'm locking in the Broncos as my second lock.
Okay.
Give me the points and the Broncos. Like, the Lions can win, but as long as they win by less than 4, I still win. So it's okay.
I feel like if you're taking Detroit here, you'd bet the over. If you're taking Denver, you'd probably be betting the under.
Probably, yeah. Because their defense plays well most times.
They turn the ball over, which can lead to less points for the opposing team. And Denver has not been a juggernaut on the offensive side this year. They haven't been shut down, I don't believe, as of late, but they haven't been putting up a ton of points. If I had to guess, they're in the middle third of the NFL as far as points scored at the best.
I mean, you're probably right, but they put up, like, on average, like 20 something points a game. Like, they're never like just trash, you know what I mean? I think their lowest scoring game was their loss against the Raiders, where they only put up 16.
They're averaging,
or no, their loss against the Chiefs, they put up 8. That's it, what it was.
They're averaging 22,
but that was an outlier.
22 points a game.
That wasn't too far off for just like eyeballing it. That's not bad. It's 3 touchdowns
and a little sugar.
It's not great.
And a little sugar. And a couple cutlets.
Jesus Christ. We're not talking about the Giants right now. You're just not going to let that go, especially because the Giants beat the Packers. You're just going to be in New York mode. Is that what it is? You'd be like, hey, I'm talking here, you know? It's a football podcast, you know, I'm talking about everybody except the Giants. Fuck Tommy DeVito.
Hey, can a transplant get some cheese over here, huh?
Get a transplant, get some cheese. You're closer to Chicago-style pizza than New York pizza. That's a problem.
I like it better, too.
It's lasagna.
It's lasagna.
It's not a pizza.
Call me Garfield and give me a fucking Chicago pie, bitch.
Oh, right. That's fine as long as you realize it's lasagna. It's a delicious dinner, but it ain't pizza.
You and Greg, I don't give a shit what your fucking idea of a pizza is. I like it. I don't really care.
You realize I'm not saying it tastes like shit, right? It's just I don't consider
it a
pizza.
No, I understand. Like lasagna. That's fine. I'm okay. Give me a lasagna and a pizza lasagna. I'll take both.
Good. Proud of you. It's fine.
You should.
You know what you like.
Well, there's no avoiding this being the first Sunday game we talk about, because whether or not it's on my CBS app with my favorites or Andrew's CBS app with his favorites, the first game that shows up for both of us this Sunday at 1 Eastern is an old NFC Central, the Black and Blue Division, an old NFC Central matchup. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, over history, have not fared well in Green Bay, especially in December, with Matt LaFleur coming off his first loss as a head coach in the NFL in the month of December. How are you feeling? The only real way to gauge a true fandom's feelings on this game is to go to Andrew, considering This is like my rebellious year as being a Packer fan because I'm so pissed at them. How do you feel as a Tampa Bay Buccaneer fan? Where you're at this season, what the expectations were, the potential that you could have being successful still, and traveling north to Green Bay this late in the season.
I mean, it's not ideal. I'll be straight with you on that one. But the Bucs are better than a lot of other people expected. People expected Brady was gone, the Bucs were going to suck, and it was going to be, oh no, we suck again. And they've had a rough stretch. They finally bounced back with a close but quality win against the Panthers because it's a division game, like, you know, and they beat the Falcons. So that was another one that was way closer than it should have been. But the Falcons were at least playing for something. And I don't understand the Falcons as a team sometimes. Like, they fucking struggle to score more than 13 points against the Jets when the Jets had no offense that game. But, like, they scored 25 against the Bucs, and it's like almost sort of a shootout. So that was weird, but it's a division game. What you going to do? The Bucs need this. If the Bucs want a chance at the playoffs, which the same answer can be said for the Packers, whoever wins this is in the driver's seat for that sixth or that seventh seed wild card position, whatever the fuck we want to call it now since they extended playoffs to seven teams. So Bucs need it because they have not the hardest schedule of the three NFC South teams, but it's kind of middle of the pack. Like, The Packers and the Jaguars are definitely harder than I think who the Saints have on their radar. I think the Falcons have the hardest schedule. I can't quite completely remember, but like the Bucs need to win at least three of their last four. And if this is one of those three, that puts them in the driver's seat to make the playoffs.
I don't know what Packer team shows up here. You know, the one that executes against Detroit and Kansas City, or the one that turns the ball over and gives,
I hope that one
gives the opposing team a short field twice.
I want that one.
Yeah.
Give me that one. Okay.
I mean, even Tommy Cutlets can take fucking advantage of that shit.
I mean, you know, if he's the butcher, we got the baker. We just need a candlestick maker now, and then we can fucking have the whole fucking fairy tale.
I think the Packers win this game. I think the defense really shows up here. I do think it goes over 41.5. I think this is like a 27-21 victory for the Packers.
I mean, that's plausible. I mean, I see it in that range, too, that it's going to be 20-something to 20-something. I'm just hoping it's flipped, because neither one of the teams are significantly better than the other. They have similar problems, where, like, the defense can show up some games when the defense doesn't show up, too much rides on the offense, and then something's just not clicking. So, we'll see. The Bucs don't really turn it over as much as the bad Packers do, though. So, like, if it's the bad Packers, even the bad Bucs would probably beat the bad Packers. But hopefully, it's a decent game from both of them instead of sucking it up.
I want to watch a good game. I want to be messaging you while I'm doing Bandwagon Nerds and watching the football game, saying, "I hope we both just enjoy a really good game in a season where we both didn't really expect too much." Like, I know you thought they could win the division. I doubt you thought they could win the Super Bowl.
Oh, I didn't think it was going to be dominating. No. I knew the team was good enough on paper to make the playoffs. I didn't think it was going to be a huge run, right, but I knew they weren't that far behind from what they were with Brady.
All right. I need a beer, and this next one is meaningful to you. While a lot of people would say they really don't want to watch this game, the Falcons head to Carolina to take on the Panthers, and Andrew would love nothing more than for Carolina to get their second W of the season.
I mean, you're not wrong. Carolina beating the fucking Falcons would do a lot because it would help out the breakers for the division. It would help out any possible ridiculousness with the sixth and seventh seed. So I can't really argue with you there, but the Panthers have been terrible. Like, I don't even know if the Panthers are trying anymore this year. Like, the Falcons have such an easy schedule too. These last four, the Falcons could easily win their last four games. That's the problematic part, because the Falcons have the Panthers, then the Colts, then the Bears, then the Saints. The Saints and the Colts are probably their hardest games in this stretch, but they're still very much winnable. And if the Panthers win, or the Falcons win all four of them, that's painful. So somebody needs to smack the Falcons in the face a couple times, and
the Panthers
would be nice.
I'm worried the Falcons win this game and the Panthers' second win comes against the Packers, because the Panthers don't give a shit, because they're not keeping – don't the Bears have their pick?
They do. The Panthers tanking is not even tanking for them. It's tanking for the Bears.
The problem in Carolina is the owner. He has no patience. He has no patience with the other professional team he has. He fires coaches and hires coaches with reckless abandon. He just doesn't know. It feels like he's making the decisions, whether instead of really listening to the people he's hired that are informed enough to make those decisions, because the carousel that he's created in both franchises, professional franchises that he owns, is ridiculous and documented.
Oh, no, I agree with you, but what are you really going to do? There's some people with money that do that, and they think they know better, and if they don't get a quick return on investment, then they just cut bait and see if they can strike it with something else.
It's not even coach-wise, though, because all of his people told him to take Stroud, and he took Young. So we can clearly see. I mean, we can't clearly see because Bryce Young doesn't really have the team around him and a quality organization either. All right.
Who's going to coach that team next year, though, is the big question.
I mean, I'll do it. I'll do it for the league minimum head coach.
So if you get fired after week 6, you'd be okay with that?
No, but for coming and doing it for the league minimum, it's 2 years fully guaranteed. So no matter what the league minimum is for a head coach, I get that for 2 years, even if you fire me after the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, well, I mean, now legitimately talking, who do you think with a resume is actually going to want that fucking Panthers job?
That's at least $2 million for me, right?
Resume!
After taxes, it's like 1.4. We're good.
Depending on what state you're in. Actually, don't they take state tax out for each game you play in a different state, so then it's even trickier?
Can we get this guy to buy a team in Texas or Florida?
Yeah, because okay. Delaware doesn't have a team.
Let's get to the next game. You're right, because it's one of my locks. I got the Cleveland.
Oh God!
I got the Cleveland Browns -3 against
the Browns?
Chicago Bears. I got them taking the Browns.
Who got the Browns
against the Bears? The Bears are coming off a win. There's no way they win two in a row.
Bears. How do you know the Bears could do it? The Bears.
Do you know how to keep a bear out of your backyard?
What?
You put up a goalpost.
That's pretty good.
You're welcome.
I like that one actually.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. That's my next lock.
We just need Jose Flacco to show up and fucking keep shelling out, and it'll be fine.
Get
the Browns to the playoffs. They can win at least one game. They could be a dangerous team in the playoffs.
I don't really care what they do in the playoffs. I just need them to win this weekend by more than 3.
I mean, long term, though, the Browns have a good enough defense to win a wild card game.
Isn't it
and
weird?
Flacco has enough experience.
If I had told you before this season that a few weeks in, Chubb would suffer an injury that possibly may keep him out of football forever. Mm-hmm. And Deshaun Watson would be basically not even meaningful throughout your entire season. There's no way you would think you'd be 8-5 coming into this week looking like a team that's a house of fire.
And I think I also saw a stat on X, Twitter, whatever the fuck we call it, that the Browns are actually the team that has beaten the most teams with an over 500 record this year, because they've beaten 6. I don't know how unsubstantiated or substantiated that is, but if that's true, and they've had like the quarterback carousel, and like Flacco's their 4th, and they've had different running backs because Kareem Hunt showed back up, and their defense has been a little dinged up too, like that team has been like the definition of like next man up and plug and play and just like do your job. It's impressive. Like I'm not sure who the bigger Cinderella this year, the Lions or the Browns.
We don't even need to here's why we both have the Browns way up in the power rankings and both had them at 5 before.
Yeah. You dropped them for the injuries, but right.
So that's fine. You know, we got them right. We both believe that just shows we both believe in them. And here's why. You want to know why?
Because Chris told us to.
No. Because the Browns, who's number one and two in the power rankings?
Yeah, I know.
The Browns have beaten both the Niners and Ravens this year. So if they hadn't beaten any other teams that were over 500, it wouldn't matter if they'd just beaten those two. Because those are the two of the biggest victories by any team that's up in that echelon of the top 10.
That's a fair point.
All right, that's why they're my lock of the week. I'm glad we got there.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I don't have them as a lock, but I think the Browns are winning it, so all right. Hopefully.
I like that. New York head south, like most do, to Miami. We got the Jets and the Dolphins.
Yeah, that's a northeastern thing, yeah.
Right. Over under 37, which is interesting. -8.5. Looks like we're going to have rain, but I still think this game goes over 37.
Especially because the Dolphins have A-Chain and fucking Mostert. So, like, even if it's a bad downpour, Dolphins have a good running game. They don't even need to throw it that much.
Here's the thing. The Jets put up points last week. I think they were on the road. No, they were at home against Houston. But.
Yeah.
I think that number is reflective of. Is Hill going to be out this week?
I haven't heard anything. He was banged up, obviously, but, like, I don't know if he was called out. He's day-to-day as far as what I'm looking at.
Okay. We'll see. Non-participant in practice today, but that could be just a, you know, keep him loose during the week and
see how
he feels on Sunday. So, interesting. Very, very, very interesting.
I mean, I agree with you that it's probably going over 37, but 8.5 for a game where the Dolphins look really sus against the Titans of all things, and the Zach, you know, came out with a chip on his shoulder and actually looked like a competent quarterback.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Longevity, like you said, can he make it happen?
I mean, he's
for
done
two
that
weeks
yeah,
in a row.
Yeah, he's done that twice this year after looking like shit for most of the year. So.
Here's the thing, though. Yeah. Does Miami shit the bed at the end of the year like they had last year? They went on and were this great team, and then they lost all these games. They've done this the last 2 years now. Are they going to do it again this
Tua
year?
Tua got hurt last year, though. So well, let's not blame the Dolphins necessarily last year because Tua got hurt and that killed their momentum. But
well, here's
you bring
thing.
Up a valid point. If it happens with everybody, with most of the star players healthy,
you
bring up
something.
A valid point.
I want to tell you something. The Dolphins lose this game, they could go 9-8. They could go 9-8. They have the Cowboys, they go to Baltimore, and then they finish with the Bills.
I mean, they don't have an easy end of schedule now. So if they
gonna,
do end up 9-8, that's surprising.
Miss the playoffs.
Like yeah. If
Think
they
about
can't
that.
Beat one of those last three teams, then they
Buffalo,
don't deserve to be in the playoffs.
That game against Buffalo is for the division, and the winner goes to the playoffs. Think about that.
Most likely. In that case, probably. That would probably happen. And yeah. Yeah. It's a litmus test. You know. The Dolphins have to fucking win one of those games at least to be serious in the playoffs.
This is the biggest game of their season right now.
Well, because they need to win. But
those last three, I think,
were telling.
If they don't win this game, they're fucked.
No, I get you. But I still feel like the last three, they need to win one. Because they haven't done shit against playoff caliber teams this year. They need to get at least one to prove that they can hold their own against good teams because they've done nothing against good teams.
It's crazy because Bills are at 7 wins right now, so they could still get to 11. So even if they beat the Jets, you're right. Well, we'll see what happens there. That's a really interesting stretch down the end of the season for a team that's been lauded the entire year.
And just because we're talking about the Bills have two gimmies. They've got the Cowboys this coming week, but they've got the Chargers and the Patriots. So on paper, it's a gimme. Yes, the Patriots are a division game. Words. No. But you get what I'm saying. Like, they got two relatively easy games, so that will bring up to 9. If they get the game against the Dolphins, that's 10.
They're right there. They're right there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get
to
everybody's favorite.
The Dolphins need this game and one of their last three, yeah.
Let's get to everybody's favorite. Tommy Cutlets heading to New Orleans.
Tommy Cutlets, yeah, that's right.
Oh, boy, the Gabagools are heading south to the land of voodoo and crawdads.
Damn right, you know, it's not even Mardi Gras, so I don't even know what he's going to do down there, you know.
I think the Saints, sheesh, the Saints turn him over three times, sack him five times, and win 42-3.
Wouldn't that be like the most points they've put up all year in like almost in two games combined? Like,
dude,
the Saints don't put up points like
the
that.
The fucking carriage turns into a pumpkin at midnight down here, but only it's noon Central Time in New Orleans.
Fair. Yeah, like what is the most points the Saints even put up this year? Okay, they put up 38 against the Colts.
There you go.
And that's about it. They've only put up over 30 points.
This is not
twice this year.
This is not a lock of mine, but I firmly think that the Saints definitely cover against the Giants this weekend.
Six? Wait, what's the? I'm looking at six. What are you looking at for the difference?
Six. And it concerns me too. Though as stout as their defensive line is, I gotta start Saquon Barkley this week. Who? Thank you, Packers.
I don't know. Like, do I think the Saints are the better team? Sure. But the Giants are playing for nothing. I mean, technically, they have an outside shot at a playoff
chance. They're a game back.
They're
a game out of the playoffs.
I know. I'm just that they're, in my mind, they've been such a bad team all year. They're probably playing for nothing. But because Tommy Cutlets have figured it out, you know, him
come here.
This,
let me give you a smooch on,
you know,
the cheek.
Showing up. Oh yeah, mwah, you know, let's get a nice pasta, you know, maybe a little aperitif, and you'll go down to New Orleans, and like, they'll figure it out, you know. What if my uncle, he sells used cars. I've seen used cars before. This one was from Vegas. It's down here in New Orleans. It's not that good. It's got too many miles on it. So Tommy Cutlet's gonna cut him up.
All right, I like it. Boy. A couple of struggling AFC South teams. The Texans head to the Titans. Levis looked good in the comeback. Stroud is still in concussion protocol.
I was going to say, who's healthy on the Texans right now?
Yeah, that's rough.
Tank is out.
I know.
Stroud
Nico,
is probably out.
Nico might be out too.
Yeah. I mean, so, I think the Texans lose this because of the injury bug.
Yeah, I think Levis maybe. Do you think Levis can be a good top 10 NFL quarterback? I do, actually. I think he needs a better offensive head coach than Vrabel, or a better offensive coordinator.
The coordinator needs to be there for him.
But I think that kid could be something. He's built run the ball, and he
like
can throw
the
it.
One thing that Vrabel said, though, talking about trying to get him to slide. And did you hear that? Read that little bite where Vrabel's just like, we showed him people sliding and he still doesn't do it, so I'm going to start showing him people getting laid the fuck because they don't slide, and see if he finally starts fucking sliding.
Find him.
That's a hard-nosed, like, defensive mindset of, like, you know, here's what you should be doing, kid.
Find him. He'll start sliding.
I mean, maybe. I like to scare him. I like the scared straight kind of mentality first before you just find him. Him's kind of a bitch made move to do it. Be like, I'm going to hit your wallet. It's like, fuck you. Give me a reason.
Fair.
Yeah. So, again, I still think beating the Texans because Texans are banged up right now. But it sucks. The Texans had that division. They just needed to put something together the last couple weeks, and they could have wrestled it away from the Jaguars. And just nobody wants the AFC South, apparently, because everybody's taking the piss.
We'll see. I think, I don't know, that's tough. Jacksonville's got a rough little schedule ahead of them. Yeah, I mean, it's the AFC and NFC South. They're both like, everybody's like, no, here, you take it.
They're too nice. Here, now it's your turn. No, I insist. It's your turn.
All right, the last noon or last one Eastern game is the Kansas City Chiefs heading to the New England Patriots. Over under 37, Chiefs plus 8.5. I'm going to double down and give you a double lock for one pick. You can take the Chiefs minus the 8, and you can take the over 37, because the Chiefs might just win this game. 99-0. I mean, they're going to be on a fucking war path, and they could give a flying fuck about hurting Bill Belichick's feelings.
Oh, yeah, no, I agree with you. Like, the Chiefs are going to light him the fuck up. Especially with the fact that Mahomes is so fired up after the call, which, yes, all right, we'll just... It was the right call. But everybody that has talked about it is also correct that most refs will give you a warning or give you the whole, hey, back up, or some kind of, like, they'll give you the Iggy if they think you're too close. And if that wasn't done, big if, I don't know. I'm not the ref. I'm not Kadarius Toney. So there's no way to know if he was already Iggy'd and still was stupid.
If he looked over and the ref, here's the thing.
The ref gives a motion to say if he's okay or not.
If there's clear evidence of him looking over and the ref seeing him and making eye contact together and kind of nearly irrefutable that he knew exactly what he was looking for. If there's evidence of that, then fuck them, and I understand what Patrick Mahomes went off. Mm-hmm. But if not, you get paid a lot of fucking money to stand behind a fucking line. What the fuck is... what if you're that good, what the fuck is 6 to 8 inches difference? Don't
joke there.
Don't start. I thought of a different way. I went like this when I shuffled.
I spoke with my hands.
I thought of a different way to say it, but I couldn't. And I was just like, you know what? Let's just go with that.
It's very simple. It's the competitive advantage. Everybody looks for every little inch you could get.
I think I've told you before there's defensive backs
that when you
there was no one even
with,
lined up against him.
But the point is, there's defensive backs when you're in man coverage. If they're running with you, and as you're running, they punch you in the thigh to screw up your gait, that's cheating, and it's technically pass interference, but there's no way to prove it if you make it look like you were in mid-stride and it's just incidental contact. So everybody looks for that little extra inch, and everybody's also done that. They point at the ref gives them the okay, they give them a little high sign or whatever the
I'm
hell they do.
I'm saying if it didn't.
And apparently, the couple videos I've seen, Toney looks over the ref, but doesn't like hold eye contact to actually confirm it. And then the ref sidesteps to get a better look at the ball, like right before it's hiked, because of the position the center had it in. So Toney kind of did it, but nobody warned him. And the point is that most of the time, the refs will warn the quarterback or the receiver if they're doing that throughout the game to be like, hey, back up. Because refs should not decide the last minute of the game. Everybody bitched about it when the Eagles lost the Super Bowl because of a fucking pass interference call that was obviously pass interference, defensive holding or whatever the fuck it was. And it obviously was. But it wasn't called all game because there was like three flags all fucking
well,
game.
Well,
so
I think the
now
most
you wait
egregious...
until the last 90 seconds to fucking flag. That shit shouldn't happen. You should just let them play the fucking game out. It's that playoff mentality. It's that last 2 minutes. It's like hockey mentality where if the game is close and there's 5 minutes left, you keep your whistles in your fucking pocket. You know, if they want to punch each other, unless it's flagrant and blatant, you just let them fucking play.
Fair enough. Quite the hot take from Andrew Belaz. Follow him at IWC War Chief. You can follow this show at Chairshot NFL. Don't forget about ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. When we come back, the rest of the NFL slate. You're listening to Chairshot NFL on the Chairshot Radio Network on all of your favorite streaming platforms. And now, back on TheChairShot.com.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, it is nice.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
All right, folks, don't forget about ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. Check it out. Pick yourself up a few Chairshot t-shirts. They make a great gift. They're better than a hug. They're the gift that keeps on hugging you. That's prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. That was probably the best one. That was like not too over the top. You know, there's no midgets involved in that one. Wasn't talking about
that
your balls.
That makes it better for some people.
I mean, not everybody.
Yeah. Definitely sounds like it could be a Bailey shirt when she turns face again, though.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes you just have to face your shortcomings.
Ah, face and midget pun. Good job.
Pardon me while I pop. gives new meaning to pop yourself, eh?
Yeah, it did.
I'm on a roll here. Can I get a double ding? Double ding. The afternoon games. Do the Niners cover this 12.5 at Arizona?
Good question. Maybe. Arizona's looked better, but they're still not good. So.
But they're dangerous. They
Are they?
Yeah, I mean, Kyler's back.
Are they?
They got a couple of fast receivers. They have a really good tight end.
You're trying. I appreciate it. But I'd still take the Niners.
I'm just
even
saying,
against the points.
Listen, that's what scared me away from making it a lock. Because you know how much I believe in the 49ers. But I'm thinking Vegas terms. So I'm just like, on the road. I could see this being a 10-point win where Arizona gets a field goal and a touchdown in the last 7 minutes of the game. You know what I mean?
I mean, I could also see it being 30-9 because the Cardinals look like shit this year.
I completely agree. That's why I'm not taking the game. So,
I mean, I'm not locking it, but I still think the Niners are covering and winning.
48 over under?
That's iffy because that depends on the Cardinals. So that's probably under. Yeah, I agree. But
we'll see. Yep. Commanders head west to take on the Rams. This I should have taken as a lock now that I think about it.
Why?
This is my fourth.
How many points?
My
is this spread you're working with?
6.5. They win by a touchdown. All
right, that's what I'm looking
Commanders
at.
Go west.
They might not.
Come on.
The Commanders have played some teams close.
I think the Rams shut this team down as they travel across
the
country. The
Rams haven't shut anybody down.
The Commanders are playing for nothing. The Rams are still alive. You can't hold down.
The Rams have shut one down this year.
You can't hold down Cooper, Puka, and Tutu.
Sure, they can score the ball. Howell on a good day can score the ball as well. And so that's why I feel like it's going to be close-ish. It's going to be shootout-y. It's going to be like 30-24, which doesn't cover 6.5.
You like the over, huh?
Yes. I like the over. I don't like the spread. So do I think the Rams are going to win? Yes, but not by 6.5.
We completely disagree. So that means either it's going to be the Rams and the under or the Commanders and the over.
So someone's going to be right next week. Look at that.
Someone's also going to be wrong.
That's usually how that works, yes.
No, but what I'm saying is we're both going to be right and wrong.
Oh, shit. What if,
No.
What if one side's right, the other side's wrong? Oh, yeah. God.
It's like
50.
Like the yin and a Big Mac.
Yes, I agree. I get you what you're getting at, yeah.
Or a Whopper and a Yang. Cowboys.
It's not even a Jimmy Wang Yang.
It could be a rodeo burger. Oh, that's a rodeo burger.
Hey! Okay.
Give me some onion rings, bitch. Cowboys, put them on my burger. Cowboys heading to Buffalo, and Andrew, I'm just going to tell you.
Speaking of rodeo, hey, look at that. Cowboys and Bills.
I'm going to tell you right now, Buffalo wins this game. I don't give a shit about the spread. I don't give a shit about the over-under. It's 50.5, and Buffalo's -2. Even Vegas thinks so, but the Bills win this game because Dallas gonna Dallas.
You think that?
Yeah.
I've been trying to say that, and the Cowboys haven't. So until the Cowboys shit the bed, I'm taking the boys.
Oh, no.
Because the Bills need to prove to me that Chiefs win turned their season around.
And this is where it happens, I think.
Which, if it does, then I'll start getting back on board. But, like, we were all not on the Bills bandwagon this year. We thought their window had closed. We didn't think they were that good anymore. Maybe you were a little higher on it than me and Ray, but I remember there was a lot of dissension against the Bills in, like, our week zeros.
But I think we all had them winning the division.
I begrudgingly had them winning the division, only because I didn't know if Tua was going to stay healthy. Ray doubled down on the Dolphins, if I remember correctly, but I couldn't keep...
We all got the Bills.
I thought Ray doubled down on the Dolphins.
Nah.
But regardless,
we all
I know
had
there
the
was
same
conversation.
Pick. We all had the Ravens, Jags, Bills, and Chiefs.
I thought conversation was still that the Bills weren't nearly as good as they were in the past. Even if we had them winning division doesn't mean shit.
I think it was more
a reflection of the division than the team.
I think it was more of it's a time to, you know, shit or get off the pot.
Mm-hmm. So, and this is that point. If they can't fucking get off the, you know, if they can't shit, they better get off the pot because Cowboys beat the crap out of them.
I think they come out blasting this week. They're going to shit all over the place. No need to get off the pot. They can stay there. They're going to shit, and they're going to shit all over Dallas, and Dallas is going to lose this game and look shitty. They're going to look like the Spirit Squad.
All right. Again, one of us is going to be right.
This is shit. My hands, this is shit. This is shit.
It's raining shit?
Yeah.
So it's going to be like Orton's old pyro, but just shit?
I went up first. This just comes down. Oh, no, that did come down. I'm thinking of, oh, yeah, that came down from the top of the screen. No, this
the rain comes, pyro for
no.
burning my light.
Yeah, no. Yeah. That came down from the, sure. That was a shower.
Yes.
It was golden.
So it should be a shit
Completely
shower.
Completely different. No, golden. Orton had a golden shower.
No, yeah. Golden showers are something that Kenny Omega and Kota Ibushi do. We're not talking about that.
This is the worst chair shot NFL of all time. And the best at the same time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Agreed.
All right. Should we just both pick Jacksonville to piss Ray off in case he listens?
I wanted to, but Ravens are my last lock because I can't Ooh. Trust the Jaguars anymore this year.
Yeah, I know. They've had a little rough stretch after having a really good winning streak going.
And then they pushed out Lawrence when they didn't need to, and he looked like shit. So I don't know if that made things worse or didn't make anything better or worse. Like, I don't know. He looked bad. The whole team looked bad. And I don't know if he's starting or if they're going to finally start Beathard because to give him a break. But yeah, the Ravens are probably going to mollywop the shit out of the fucking Jaguars.
It's tough with all those injuries. And especially since the Ravens can see the light at the end of the tunnel, they know they can be that number one seed, especially with all these teams faltering. They are the best team by far in the AFC. Yeah, considering those three losses are way in the rear view, and they had double-digit leads in the second half in all three of those games. So hopefully they stay healthy and continue to grow as a winner and continue to add on to what they've learned to win games. And I think that comes out in spades here on Sunday night.
The only negative the Ravens have this year at the moment is they may have peaked too early. If they go in on too much of a winning streak, those type of teams usually tend to flame out. There aren't many teams that could be like, they're on an 11-game winning streak and they make it to the Super Bowl type thing. Like,
until another one does again, though.
But I'm just, it's still
no, I
infrequent.
Know. Right.
You know what I mean? It's still sure. like, they hit that 8-9 mark, then they have to lose a game before the playoffs start just to kind of re-spark the fire.
No, so you're describing...
the only negative
yeah,
for the Ravens.
You're describing, like, every year for the Packers except for 2010 and 1997. So that's cool. No big deal. Thanks.
Okay, so that was 13 years in between the times when it actually worked. So it still happened. It still didn't happen more times than it didn't.
But we're talking about a stretch from like 92 to 2022.
Sure. That's fine. And you lost not in the Super Bowl. Well, you lost one time in the Super Bowl because Favre, but, you know.
No, but we'd go on a stretch to the playoffs, and then we'd lose.
Oh, I know. That's my point. That's why it's better to lose a little bit early than to lose in the playoffs.
And that's why I was saying I know what that's like.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure where you were making the argument. All right. Okay. That's yeah. fine.
Monday Night Football. I think we got
that. The Packers are your team. I don't have your fucking stuff memorized.
That's the old Monday Night Football, right?
I like the one.
Eagles heading west to take on the Seahawks. That's kind of a battle of the birds. Dangerous game.
The right? bird wins.
Yeah, you think it's a dangerous game for the Eagles?
that are not hunting people.
No, okay, football wise, the Philadelphia football team. Sorry, my bad. I started this with a bird reference and then I went into football. My bad.
And then he said dangerous games, and this became a literary podcast. Look at that. So that's why I said we're not hunting people.
At least we don't have to have, you know, what if the Cardinals were playing the Falcons at the same time again, like last week, and then we'd have bird watching with separate fucking TVs going. It's like, ooh, I wish they'd put the Cardinal and Falcon on the bigger screen as opposed to the Eagle and the Seahawk. The Seahawk is disgusting.
See, that'd be the perfect for Al Michaels to do. Just like fucking bird watching fucking stuff. Just unenthused and just monotone.
He's like, not only am I watching the paint dry while the grass grows, I'm bird watching.
Yes, yes. But you're right. It is a dangerous game, just to circle back to what we're supposed to be talking about. Because the Eagles have been on a two-game skid. They need to kind of right the ship. And the Seahawks have just not been able to buy a win if they tried. Like, they've been competitive in a lot of these games, but then they just can't fucking figure it out. So if the Seahawks want a chance at the playoffs, they'd need this game.
There you have it, folks. We both agree Cincinnati -3 against Minnesota at home. I have Cleveland -3 at home against Chicago, Kansas City on the road at New England -8. Andrew has Denver +4 at Detroit, and Baltimore -3 at Jacksonville. We're coming down the stretch. This is it. There's no more buys. There's 4 weeks left. It's shit's interesting. You know, almost every game has meaning except for those with teams that are not playoff involved, and there's not a lot of those games right now. So whether it's Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, or Monday, you're going to get your NFL fix. And of course, every Thursday right here on Chairshot Radio Network and on thechairshot.com, Chairshot NFL has you covered. Andrew Balazs, myself, and Ray Cash, amongst other guests. Last thoughts this week, Andrew? I mean, this is it. This is coming down the stretch right now.
It is. And I think it's funny that there's, what, only three or four teams that don't have playoff implications. Honestly, when it comes down to it, it's like the Panthers, the Patriots, and who? Maybe the Chargers, because I don't really think the Chargers have much of a shot in hell. But regardless, my point is that there's just most of the teams are alive, so most of the games matter. Oh, and the Cardinals, so that's four probably, because the Cardinals only have like two or three wins. I can't even keep track of how many wins they have, because I don't care, because they suck the year.
Chargers have 5 wins. So do the Raiders, the Jets, and the Titans. The Patriots are out.
The Chargers have no quarterback. They're out.
I'm just saying, they have 5 wins. The Panthers.
You think Easton Stick is going to take them to the 7th seed?
You asked technically who was in or out, and I'm trying to tell you. And
I didn't really say technically. Okay, I just said it's interesting that there's only like 4 teams that are out.
Well, everybody's out then except for San Francisco, Baltimore, Dallas, Philly, and Kansas City, in my opinion.
That's how you want to look at it. I'm not going to argue that logic either. But I just meant for interesting football games this week. I think it's funny that there's only like 4 teams that are really just dead in the water. And it's getting later in the season and things are so fucking mixed up in the middle that like one good bad week, you know, boom, it changes. And
I've been saying this for going on 3 years now doing this show. It's Pete Rozelle's dream.
Parody thing, you're gonna say it again?
Pete Rozelle. You knew it already. It's Pete Rozelle's dream coming true, and what the man imagined is come to fruition in spades, and it benefits them monetarily infinitesimally.
Yeah. And it's all thanks to that 17th game. Look at that. That's why they added the
17th. Yeah, it'll be
game.
18 before the calendar turns 2027. How about that?
I agree with you.
All right, that sounds like a great place to end the show. I don't think they have issues with it. No. You agree with me.
You want to stop it?
No.
I do.
You agree with me.
I was continuing agreeing with you because I don't see why they would say no to that.
No, but that's a great place to end the show, I think. You agreeing with me is a great place to end.
We'll go with it. Fine.
Follow the show at Chairshot NFL. Make sure you continue to listen to everything Chairshot Radio Network. There's sports, There's entertainment and there's sports entertainment, and the website's back, thechairshot.com. Always use your head and head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Follow Ray Cash at It's Ray Cash. I hope you had a good time at the game tonight. Andrew, you're back to work. The website's up and running.
I know. Look at that. So the only problem is I think TNA is in clip show mode because they're not Impact, and you know they're only going to be Impact until their first pay-per-view in 2024. It's not really anything to cover for Impact.
I'd like a 7,000 word essay on the clip show.
No, thank you. I think this week they're doing like hidden gems, so just like old matches that didn't hit make paper, like that didn't make TV, and I'm like, I don't care. I don't want to see like Josh Alexander versus Yu Uemura. Like, there's a reason I didn't watch it then, and it didn't make TV then, probably because it doesn't matter. So I'm like, why do I care now? I like both of them, don't get me wrong. I'm like, it's not really integral to the show.
I love that you said integral instead of integral. You can follow me at PC Tunney. Don't forget to follow the show at Chairshot NFL. Where's the out? Oh, yeah, it's Monday Night Football.
There it is.
Talk fast if there's anything you want to say. Never mind. It took too much time.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.